Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Baxi's Musical Podcast. If you like what you hear today, be sure to subscribe to it, like it, share it with everyone you know, and if you can leave a big fat review, that would be fantastic. Also, make sure you check out Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for regular updates about what's coming up next on future episodes. Today, we're brought to you by Metro Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Chicopee. Visit Metro's state-of-the-art dealership right next to BJ's and Big Y on Memorial Drive, or visit MetroJeep.com and drive home in your new Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram today. Now let's get started with today's episode of Baxi's Musical Podcast.
What is it? What is it?
It's Baxi's Musical Podcast. Resistance
is useless.
Listen, I don't know about you, but there are times, without really looking for it, a song comes around that cracks your skull open, and it sits in your head for a while. And once it gets comfortable, it's almost impossible to shake loose. It's as if the song is somehow smothered in glue, and the song is stuck there forever. And whether you want to call it an earworm or something different, there's a sense that it must be shared with other people. People who will appreciate it every bit as much as I do. Why should I be the one that hogs it all for himself? That would seem selfish. Today, that song happens to be from the indie rock band from Minneapolis known as Bad Bad Hats. And the name of the song that I'm talking about is the song My Heart, Your Heart. The song appears on their latest upcoming self-titled album, which is being released on April 12th on Don Giovanni Records. This is their fourth album, and the problem is that My Heart, Your Heart is not the only sticky, infectious earworm on the record. It's loaded with them. And in fact, Carrie Alexander and her husband Chris Hoagie of Bad Bad Hats have seemed to have mastered that skill, because over the last 12 years, that's simply what they do. Their songs are simple, melodic, fun, moving, all with great lyrics. In other words, I've quickly become a very big fan of Bad Bad Hats, and I think you will too. And without blowing a lot of smoke their way, their records just keep getting better and better, including the new one, which I think is their best record yet. The band is getting ready to go on tour. In fact, Bad Bad Hats has two upcoming shows in New England, including May 13th at the Brighton Music Hall in Alston and on May 14th at the Drake in Amherst. And later this year, they'll be heading out for their first tour of Europe. This is my conversation with Carrie Alexander from Bad Bad Hats on Baxi's Musical Podcast. I got to say, from the very beginning, I've been unable to get My Heart, Your Heart out of my head for like the last
three weeks.
I'd love to hear that. I'm totally serious about that. I mean, and I've been listening to the whole record, and there's probably like four or five of those earworms in there too. So thanks, Carrie.
Yeah. No problem. I know. I apologize, but also it's what we do.
The new record is great, and the thing that's got to be so exciting for you guys is that each record seems to be getting better and better. Tell me about that. I mean, you guys must feel that.
Well, I thank you. I think you certainly would like to be improving as you go, but I don't know. I think sometimes it's like hard to know. Like, people often ask us, like, you know, like, how do you pick like singles or like what are the best songs on the record? And I'm honestly like really bad at it. I think because I'm just like too close to all the songs or something. Like, I just like, I know too much. But I think it makes sense. I personally know that I feel like I've improved quite a bit in the band, in my guitar playing, just the amount of songs I've written. Like, you feel like you must be, you know, learning something, like writing that many songs. So I feel like a lot more confident, like when I go on stage and with my instrument and with my voice. So in that way, I'm glad that that's maybe coming across.
I think it's absolutely coming across. And you know, I know a lot of artists, whether it's just through songwriting or lyrics or how they perform, gaining momentum is about kind of getting your feet wet and really understanding what you are. And the cool thing about what you guys have done is you've kept that vibe going throughout pretty much the entire stretch of your career. But now it feels like you're really in that groove, in that vibe. Yeah. And that's not easy for any artist to get to that point where they can do that.
Well, in some ways, I think like it sort of speaks to what became the mantra of the band, which is slowly but surely. We always talk about how when we first started, our like second show ever was the Battle of the Bands at McAllister College, where we went to school. And we did not win the battle. But one of the judges at the battle ran like a little record label in the Twin Cities. And he signed us to the record label after that show. So when the band first started, it felt very fast. It felt very like, oh, great. Like everything's working out, like perfect. And we had that confidence. You have to have a little bit of delusional confidence when you're a young band, or else like you'd never get anything going. So when our first EP came out, I was like ready to go like straight to the moon. I was like, yep, here we go. Everything good just happens to us like right away. And then when it didn't, I was kind of like, what the heck? And like had a moment of, you know, uh-oh, like what's happening? Why isn't it all happening so fast? But I think our label guy and our friend Ian was good about being like, you know, it's the faster you rise, the harder you fall, sort of. So like there's nothing wrong with taking it easy. And right. At the time we did, like, I didn't realize fresh and new I was to like being on stage and playing shows and really hadn't developed those skills yet. So I think once we sort of had that moment of like, oh, okay, slowly but surely it's going to actually be the way, then I think it sort of has unfurled very naturally. And we did have time to sort of get better with our live performance. We had time to sort of like work on new songs. We had time to meet people who would like mm-hmm. really elevate our sound. And so I am grateful for that. And I do think I needed that time to get a little better. But I think because of that, like where it doesn't bother us to be slow and steady.
It's cool to hear you say that, because a lot of times when a band gets like instant success and a lot of success, yeah. they're suddenly, in a lot of ways, they're kind of pigeonholed into a direction yeah. and they can't get beyond that for a lot of reasons. I mean, it could be the yes. record company, it could be the press, it could be themselves, you know, don't deviate from a formula because it might, you know, screw things up.
Right.
But, yeah. but I agree with you, because, you know, a lot of times if a band can get to record 3 or 4, they finally start to yeah. understand, ah, this is what we should be doing. And I get the sense that that's exactly yeah. what's happening to Bad Bad Hats totally. At this point. It's like, you're at that point where it's starting to make sense even to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we always say, you know, like, if we had gone straight to the moon, we would have gone. Like, it's always exciting if things go, if things like pop off. But so, you know, each band has their own path to wherever they're going. But I think it's worked out for us.
The reviews of the new singles and of the new record have all been largely positive. I've not seen anything that say, this stinks, or they need to go back yes. and redo it. I haven't seen any of that. And it's, and you know, I mean, you talk about like a slow process. It's been about a dozen years for you guys. So when yeah. when you're hearing that, it's gotta be incredibly satisfying that all these good things are kind of coming together at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. I love praise. So I will take it. yeah, I don't know. Like, also, I think we just, we try not to think about it too much, you know, when like you're working on music. It's hard not to, I mean, some people are like, oh, I never think about like the critics or like the fans, but like, you can't like not think about it. Everyone's always thinking about sort of like, oh, I hope I hope the fans like it. But also we just always go into the studio and just work on the songs that we all like the best from the pile, and let that sort of be the guide.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are feeling good. We're feeling excited. It's like this record sort of started in like 2020. So I'm excited for the songs to be coming out. You know, like it feels like it always takes so much longer than you think it's going to take for songs to sort of like reach the world. So that'll be nice to sort of, I keep forgetting that people haven't heard them. So I'm like, oh yeah, like they get to listen to that song like in 2 weeks.
Right. I mentioned My Heart, Your Heart, which, you know, I heard the moment yeah. I heard it, I'm like, wow, what a great song. When you're writing a song like that and it's coming out really good, and you think, oh, this, something's going on here. You know, it's like, that moment of when it starts to become clear to you that, you know, you got a really cool song here. I don't, I obviously I'm not a songwriter, so it's hard for me to really understand what that feels like when you've got something you say, all right, this one I know is really good.
Well, that song, actually, interestingly, I wrote the chorus of that song in 2018 when we were in the studio working on our second album. And at the time, I was like, oh, I need to like record that because I really enjoy it. Like you're saying, I had a sense of like, oh, I really like that. And sort of kept it in my mind as sort of like on, I like sometimes will like go through my voice memos and write down lists of ideas. I'm like, that's a good one. I should revisit that. So it was on my list for like 3 years, but I like knew I really enjoyed it and wanted it to be something. But then I came up with in like 2021, like sitting on the couch, came up with the verse guitar part. And a great test for me is, so Chris and I are married, we live together, and I often work on songs like on the couch, like watching TV. And Chris will like come downstairs to get a snack, and I'll be working on something. And if he peeks his head out from like around the cabinets and goes, "What's that that you're working on?" Like I know I got something pretty good because I've caught Chris's attention. So he did that with the, I was playing the verse part, and he was like, "What's that? Like what's going on over there?" And I was like, "Oh yeah." And then it just sort of happened that it like flowed really nicely into this chorus that I had written many years before. So yeah, so that's nice. So I have like a built-in, critical eye in my household, but that maybe not everyone has, but that is nice.
The other single, the first single from the new record, was TPA, and I saw the video of it. That's your parents, right?
Yes, that's my mom, my stepdad.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. So I mean, I felt like I wanted to go on vacation with your mom and dad.
Yeah, don't you?
I
Yeah,
did. I
they're
totally
great.
did. I felt like, well, where are we going? Where should I pack? What should I bring?
I know. I felt my mom. I knew my mom would be down because she, like me, is a bit of a ham. But I think we were in Tampa. They live in Tampa, so we were there for Thanksgiving, and had been talking to my mom about the video. And I was like, okay, like, what props do we need? Like, mapping out like where we're gonna go. And then like, I heard my stepdad Terry in the background be like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "Oh God." Did no one tell Terry that we're making him do this? Like I totally forgot. But he's also a great sport, so he was down
That's great.
to play some bongos for us.
It's a very cool video. I actually like the beginning of it where you and Chris is standing in your backyard and say, it's time to go on vacation. I don't think there's anybody that hasn't felt that very moment. So very, very cool. The
Yeah, because where are you based?
Massachusetts.
Okay. So you know some cold. Yeah, for sure.
I know some cold, and I mean, I also went to college in Wisconsin, so
Okay, yes.
I know the Great Lakes very, very well, and I know that
Yes.
even Massachusetts seemed tropical compared to that. So, but I was reading about that single, and I also was reading about how there's a little bit of a connection between the guitar part of that song and XTC, and
There is.
sadly, I'm like an XTC obsessive, so. When
Okay.
I heard that, I'm like, ah, now we're gonna talk. But
Yeah.
I totally hear those kinds of guitar parts being, applied to that song. Tell me
Yeah.
about how you stumbled onto that.
So basically, I had written, before I knew this XTC song, I had written this little guitar line that just went dee doo doo dee doo dee doo doo dee doo. And I just thought it was kind of cool. And like, we were like in band practice when I came up with it. And so I recorded like a little voice memo of our friend Khan, who played drums in the band for many years. He like played drums and Chris like played bass. And I just had this like little snippet of something. And again, it's like, oh, it's kind of cool, but like I have no idea what I'll do with that. And we were on tour, and there I had found this like music podcast. I can't remember what it's called now, but basically it's kind of like a music theory podcast. And it's kind of cool. So people like write in questions about songs, and this guy who like has a music theory degree like answers them. And so someone wrote in about the song Wake Up by XTC, and they're like, "What is happening in this song? Like, what's the, I like can't figure out like what the measure, like what the time signature is, like, 'cause this is really interesting. Like it's like two guitar parts like happening at the same time. But then like when the drums come in, you're like, oh, whoa, like there's the downbeat. And so everyone in the car was like, whoa, like we didn't, none of us had heard the song before. But we were all like, wow, the song is so awesome. And we like looked it up and we're listening to it. And in my mind, I was like, you know what that reminds me of? It's like that guitar line that we wrote. And then we were working on our Patreon page where we like write a song every month, like around a theme. And the theme that month was New Wave. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I was like, that seems to fit. Like Ecstasy Vibes seems to fit. This riff seems to fit. Like, let's try it out.
Yeah.
Then Khan helped me come up with the dueling guitar parts.
Like I said, I totally heard that. And after I read that, I'm like, let me listen to it one more time. Like, yes. And
yeah.
There's also other songs from XTC that kind of sound very similar to that.
Yeah.
There's one from their second album called Mechanic Dancing, which is like, there's a lot. I can hear that. I can hear that too. You may not even be familiar with that song, but I definitely hear it. It's pretty, it's very, very cool the way you did it.
I mean, that's what I love about like, you know, like I myself get very like impatient, like when songs aren't like coming together or like, you know, like an idea is like languishing in my voice memos, but it's like, sometimes you like truly just like, it's just like, I needed to wait till I had heard that podcast and heard about Wake Up by XTC. And like, that was the thing that like unlocked the whole vibe. So I try to remind myself that when I'm getting frustrated, when I can't finish a song, it's like, you literally just like, you need to hear more music. You need to like go through something and then it's gonna
and then it'll
you.
Be there.
So it's cool.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the lyrics, because you know, much of what you write and how you write is just totally relatable. I mean, in the sense that, you know, there's a lot there about the like the awkwardness and self-consciousness about that,
yes,
we all
totally
feel in relationships, but it's often stated with a sense of humor, and there's something very charming about you going through so much pain.
thank you.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. But so, tell me about that. I mean, because when I've heard you speak, you know, in other interviews, it sounds the lyrics sound like you're talking. You know, I mean, and that's that is really very hard to do. A lot of lyricists simply don't grab from that well.
I feel like, in some ways, it's just you just do what you know, and like, I don't think too like consciously about like the thing that I think about is like, I do like love a love story. And I swear I'm a fan of like a romantic comedy, you know, just like classic, like the hope and the letdown and like the emotional journey. So those are the things that I'm like, I'm often thinking about and like wanting to tell those kinds of stories. And then, like I do think, in some ways, I think I hadn't really thought much about the humor side of it. I think especially like an album like Lightning Round doesn't have quite as much as maybe some of the other records. But as we were playing more shows, like humor just became part of like the stage, like banter and like telling some jokes and sort of like making the whole experience kind of funny and light and sort of like disarming the crowd in that way. And I feel like at some point that started like seeping then into like the songs.
Yeah.
So I think, like there's a lot more of it like on Walkman and then on this record too. It's sort of like allowing a little bit more of like that lightheartedness into the songs. It's definitely in part of like the live show for sure.
It's funny you say that, because I think it was yesterday I was looking at some YouTube videos and there was some performance that you'll have to forgive me because I don't remember exactly where it was.
No,
but,
you're good.
But you guys sounded really great. But what was really interesting was the banter that you had in between those songs and the way you interact with the crowd. I was like, again, it's very much like the way you write lyrics. There is an underlying sense of humor, even when you're talking about, when you're singing about something that may be very serious or painful.
Right.
There is this running theme, and I'm thinking that adds so much to the believability of the lyrics, the fact that you can apply that live. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a performance where no one's sitting there saying, you know, how important the sensitivity of the lyrics of Sammy Hagar may be. I mean, no one's saying that. But when I'm hearing, but when I'm hearing you guys do it, I'm like, I totally believe what you're singing in each of these songs, because now I'm seeing you actually speak as a human being in almost the same exact voice.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. Like, I do think, like, sort of, I mean, sometimes, like, some songs, I think the fans can tell, like, which songs are, like, the most personal. Like, they always, like, sniff it out. And those seem to be their favorites. So, like, certain songs, I feel like, it comes out even more. Because I do write a lot about, like, breakups and unrequited love. But, like, Chris and I have been together, like almost, like, 15 years at this point. So, like, I haven't had a breakup in, like, quite a long time. But I still feel like I find a way to, like, kind of tap into it or, like, listen to my friend's stories and and that sort of thing. But yeah, I do just try to, like, write what I know, and I try to, like, not take it myself too seriously. Maybe, like, I do think, like, we take the craft seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously, and maybe that kind of helps with the, you know, the relatability.
I want to ask you about you and Chris a little bit. I mean, you met in college in McAllister, like you said, and you know, it all kind of still starts on MySpace, which, you know, shows you that even 12 years ago, MySpace was kind of at the end of its run. But nevertheless, that's how this started. Tell me about the story behind that.
So we went to college together. We did not know each other really our freshman year. We, like, knew of each other. We had, like, mutual friends. But by our sophomore year, I was getting a little more interested in pursuing music and, like, playing at, like, the open mic nights at the coffee shop on the corner and, like, putting my songs on MySpace. Like, that was at the time. There was no TikTok. There was no, like, Instagram, like, reel. And you feel like now that's kind of the place if you're, like, a young up-and-coming songwriter, you know, like, you're posting a video of yourself playing, like, a little snippet of your song. That wasn't a thing then. So you would, I think SoundCloud was kind of emerging, but it was, like, SoundCloud and MySpace where, like, you put up your rough demos for people to interact with and listen to. So I had a few demos up there. Chris had a few demos up there. And our friend groups were starting to merge. And I think someone had told me that he had listened to my demos on MySpace. And I was like, oh, you don't say. It's like that one that says, like, you know, as soon as you hear that someone, like, likes yours, thinking about you, you're, like, instantly intrigued. So I was like, oh, okay. So, like, I checked out his songs and really enjoyed them. Like, Chris, like, even at the time, was doing, like, really interesting, like, recording stuff. Like, even just, like, with, like, a laptop mic, he would, like, make these, like, drum beats by, like, hitting his desk with, like, pens and layering up, like, percussion in that way. And it's, like, really cool. And so we, like, messaged each other, you know, we're, like, commented, like your song. And so pretty soon we started, like, hanging out, and pretty soon we started dating. And, like, right away, I think the two of us had the sense of, like, great, and, like, time to start, like, writing songs together. So, right. Like, I think our like, love story and, like, the band story have, like, gone hand in hand from the very beginning.
I mean, it must be for some, you know, to be in a relationship and then have a band and be working with each other. I mean, that any relationship has its difficulties. But, I mean, how do you guys manage through just the relationship part? I mean, you're talking about some pretty intense work together.
Yeah. I don't know. In some ways, like, it feels like it's all we've ever known. So, like, in some ways it, like, doesn't feel that weird to us or, like, that difficult. Like and I think in many ways, like, I think part of, like, the longevity of the band is partially because I have this partner to, like, do it with. So it's, like, the hard times, you know, like, you have someone to lean on and someone to sort of, like, pick you back up. And then the good times, you have someone to, like, celebrate with and sort of, like, be proud with and, like, for. And so, like, I don't know. It's, like, just always been the way. And I think, like, in some ways, I think that's, like, partially why the band is gone on as long as it has. Sometimes it's hard. Like, I think the only difficult thing is, like, on long tours, you know, it's kind of funny to be like, we would start to think about, like, we're like, I think, like, a third of our married life we've spent, like, in a hotel room with one to two other people, like, in a bed next to us. So, like, that part's a little funny. But But even that, it's like, I think we just feel like really lucky that we get to do this and we get
Yeah.
to do it together.
You talk about touring. You guys are about to go on your first tour of Europe. I think it's the first time you've
Yes.
been
Yeah,
in
it
Europe.
is.
That's,
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting. It's always been like on our list of things to do. Many of our contemporaries have been like many times. Like I think we never have partially because we're like a little we're like maybe a little too frugal sometimes. It's been good for us because it's like we make a living this way and we try to pinch our pennies. But in some ways I think we probably should have gone at some point earlier, but we were just like, I don't know, it seems expensive, it seems hard. So I'm excited. I'm very excited that like we're going now. At some point we're like, we gotta do this, like what are we waiting for? We Chris and I like went on just like a trip, like a vacation to Europe last year. And when we went, I was like, I wonder if while we're over there, we could conduct some business, if we could like connect with like a European booking agent while we're there. So I just like went through our email and like happened to find a really old email from someone who had reached out like around like South by Southwest time or something, like one of those like networking times. And I was just like, oh, like this is just sitting here. So I like emailed them. I was like, hey, like we're coming to Europe, like when we're looking for a European booking agent, want to do that? And he was basically like, I'm not in town because I'm on vacation, but like sure, I'll book a tour for you. And I was like, great,
Right?
there you go.
It was that simple.
Yeah, that simple, plus like I guess like many years of touring and like building a fan base. But yes.
So you guys were just at South by Southwest a couple of weeks ago. I think is that like your second
Yeah.
or third time there?
Something like that. Something
Yeah.
like that. Yeah. Maybe third. Yeah.
I mean, it's a showcase for a lot of different things, film, bands, all kinds of things are going on over there.
Yeah.
The benefit for a band, is it simply just to be networking, or is there more benefit than even that?
I mean, I do think like the networking is kind of like why you do it. And it is true that it's one of the few things where it's like you're saying, it's like not only are there like a bunch of bands there, but like it is a place where like labels and managers and people are also coming to like check stuff out, to like hand you their business card, to like wheel and deal. So that is like the selling point. Like honestly, it's kind of been like hit or miss for us. Like we've gotten like a lot of cars that like kind of go nowhere, or like people say they're gonna come and like don't come, and like so it could be like a little disheartening sometimes, like when we've done it. But to me, the part that's like that, like kind of despite everything that can be hard about it, is it's also just like one of the few times when you're just like with so many people from the like so many bands that like you don't get to see very often. Like you meet so many great people on tour and playing, but they don't live where you live, and you like only get to see them like on a 3-week tour. So it feels like a big reunion, and it feels like you get to be with your work colleagues like all together at like the work retreat. And that's like really wonderful. Like I saw so many people like when we were just there, just like you're like walking on the street, and you're like, eh, oh my God, hey. Just like running into people who you haven't seen in so long. So like we ran into like one of Chris's like best friends from high school who is a publicist, and like so that's the part that I enjoy about it. It's just sort of like you get to sort of remind yourself that you are part of this like great community who you don't always get to be
Yeah.
in the same room with. So it's really nice to be with them.
So I want to ask you a little bit about community here, because back when I was in school, Minneapolis, St. Paul had a definitive scene at that time. The Replacements, Husker Du, Soul Asylum,
Yeah.
even Bob Mould from Husker Du went to McAllister.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
And it was like a kingdom of music, back then. What is Minneapolis like now? Is the music scene still strong, or has it changed, or what is the feeling there now?
The music scene is very strong here. It has changed. It's like funny now. Now we're old enough that like we get to have like the perspective of like things that were happening when we were first starting out. I feel like when we first entered the scene in like 2012 or so, that was kind of an interesting time. I feel like shoegaze and like punk were like very dominant at the time, and there's always been like a very robust like hip hop scene as well. But like the bands we were playing with, a lot of punk bands, a lot of shoegaze bands, lots of reverb reverb and chorus pedals aplenty. And at the time, we honestly felt like a little bit like different, even though we're like, we're a very like fairly straightforward pop, indie pop music, but like not many bands were making sort of like light hearted music in that way at the time. So like we always felt like a little bit out of place when we first sort of entered the scene. But like, I think gradually that sound has sort of has grown here, which is cool for me because that's like, you know, music I really enjoy. At the same time, there's still great punk bands, shoegaze bands, like jazz bands. There's just like a lot of variety here and like a lot of really great musicians. Like I got to do this thing recently called the Rock Lottery, where they got 25 musicians, like random musicians from the scene. We just like were randomly put into bands of five people, and we had 48 hours to write a 5-song set and perform it. And it was awesome. Like I got to play with all these, like the band I was in, it was me and then another like sort of similar to me, like pop songwriter. But then a person who's in a punk band, a person who's in a jazz band, and a person who plays like with funk bands and like Americana bands. And like the five of us just were like, cool, like let's, you know, bring our powers together to like write this great set. And it was like so cool and inspiring. And I think that like, honestly, that was sort of like representative of the scene where it's like, it is very varied, but like a lot of talent and a lot of like energy, like people in the Twin Cities are just like excited about local music, which is so great for young bands. But we do have like, there are bands like to look to that are like, have sort of like the reach. I think maybe when we first started, the really big bands felt like they were in like in the past, the big bands like the 80s and 90s and sort of like dominated, but now a band like Hippocampus is like very popular. I mean, Lizzo was in the scene for a long time. I like Bad Hats has played a show with Lizzo, which is funny to say, to think about now. So like there's been a lot of like national success from the scene as well, which I think is also inspiring for young bands to see like places that they can go.
Well, I mean, you're going, like I said, you're going on tour in Europe. You're going around the country. In fact, you're coming out to our area, May 13th to be at the Brighton Music Hall in Allston, Mass. But on the 14th, you're going to be out by us at the Drake in Amherst.
I know, our first time in Amherst.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know what? It's a college town. You'll feel very comfortable there.
Okay.
Carrie, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Like I said, I really do like the record a lot. I mean, there's a bunch of great songs out there, and I hope people, you know, get the chance to spend some time with it because it's a real gem.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Carrie, good to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
The new Big Big Hat self-titled fourth album is coming out this week on Don Giovanni Records. Don't forget, they're coming to the Brighton Music Hall in Allston on May 13th and at the Drake in Amherst, Mass. The following night. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, feel free to subscribe to it, like it, share it with everyone you know. You can reach me at bax@rock102.com. I'd love to hear what you think. Thanks to Metro Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram of Chicopee, and thanks to you for listening to Baxi's Musical Podcast.